You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
I, Charles the Fourth, those at the third.
We will slowly
the application.
Let me put it to a
Yes, you
if you win my war, you
The phone went over the side.
This is time to join me.
I just think everyone should be shot.
What the fuck
is going on?
Hello, I'm Mark Steele. Welcome to the special first ever live podcast where each week I ask the question. Right, now they've given up. This is the point. The government has given up, haven't they? They've just decided to trash the place now with the year or two they've got left. Next week, Nadeem Zahawi will be fined for breaking into a van and nicking all the tools and then sending them to a lock-up garage in the Cayman Islands where the price of chisels doubles every 3 hours. And then he'll say it was an honest mistake and he was just a bit careless and everyone does it so you can fuck off. And then film will emerge of Grant Shapps as a pimp in the doorway of the Department of Transport pleading with passers-by. Hey, come here. No, we have a beautiful civil servant for you. Here, we give you good time. We have sexy civil servant. I give you a nice office. This is a nice office where we have ordinary for a nice girl. Yes, this is why we can't have talk with Mick Lynch, because office always very busy, very used. I give you good price. This is true. One Tory lord this week wrote an article suggesting that students should have to take a tolerance test before they graduate, and if they prove they're not too woke, they'll get a discount on their university fees. That's what they said. And that's genius. They'll come up with loads more ideas as imaginative as this. They will. Dominic Raab will propose that you get 10% off your water bill if you're sexually aroused by Suella Braverman. And then Jeremy Hunt will tell us 30% of the marks for English literature degrees will be awarded for barbecuing a Wall's pork sausage. And the contract for providing morphine to the NHS will be awarded to James Cleverly's furniture. And he'll say, this is an honest contract that will benefit the public as my sideboard has already achieved astonishing results in providing saline drips. And this morning my sheets long bought 3 packets of Lemsip from Boots. And then Rishi Sunak will announce the Woke Brigade bullied him into not wearing his seatbelt by shaming him into not travelling by private jet. So it was their fault. So from now on, he's going to fly everywhere by private jet, including round his own house. And if he wants some cheese from the fridge, then he will get in his private jet and fly to his butler, who he'll tell to open the door. And then he'll turn up to the coronation in a Formula One car. And then Tory MP Andrew Bridgen will be awarded a world record for breaking 153 separate parliamentary rules in one morning, including the ban on big game hunting in the House of Commons, when he shoots a rhino and gets Jacob Rees-Mogg to film him stood over it during a debate on VAT reform. And to address the shortage of beds in hospitals, patients will be sent to Rwanda. And what's most impressive about all of this incompetence and chaos is it's so expertly linked across all the different wings of the British establishment. So you hear stories such, it has emerged this morning that the General Synod of the Church of England granted Boris Johnson permission to hold a sadomasochist evening in St Paul's Cathedral. The Chief Commissioner of the Metropolitan Police provided the handcuffs, and then the Chief Admiral of the Royal Navy lent Mr Johnson a Trident nuclear submarine so that he could threaten anybody who claimed he'd been there. And the governor of the BBC is recorded as having given him 50 quid in the afternoon, saying, go on, son, enjoy yourself. This week, Beyonce did her first live show in 5 years, and it's fair to say that it's divided opinion. Now, I'm not an expert on Beyonce, but luckily we have someone with us who is, George Galloway. Let me put it to you, Beyonce. Your recent musical offerings are paltry, fair, compared to the magnificent canon that you delivered as part of the group Destiny's Child, with such iconic songs as I'm a Survivor, a paean to the anti-imperialist struggle's immortality, with its perspicacious and prophetic lyrics. I thought I couldn't be strong without you, but I am wiser now. A reference, no doubt, to my own relationship with the British Labour Party. Furthermore, your husband, Mr. Jay-Z, whose surname no doubt stands for the Mexican revolutionary Emil Zapata, has refused repeatedly to respond to my requests for a collaboration with him by remixing his song 99 Problems with my own lyrics that would go problem number one, land reform in Venezuela. Problem number two, the lickspittle nature of the Scottish National Party and its repellent revisionism. Problem number three, the repeated refusal by Debenhams to hand over a refund for a faulty hairdryer, despite it having no doubt faulty components, under the spurious argument that it has gone into liquidation. That, Beyoncé, is why I shall not be listening to your new songs on the album Renaissance, and shall instead spend the evening watching reruns of Play Your Cards Right on Challenge TV. Now, has anyone who's listened to this podcast, has anyone has even ever tried to... No, I got that in Portugal, that. No, I didn't. No, it's George. It was George got that out in Portugal. It's impossible to work out what the fuck is going on, even to start working out what the fuck is going on without expert advice. And we're very lucky to have with us tonight to offer such advice, Suze Kempner. And,
hello.
So you've been on this before and offered your advice.
Yes.
And so how would you describe yourself? Comic singer or other form of entertainment?
Oh, God. That awful thing we go, I'm an entertainer.
Yeah.
It's awful, isn't it?
It's horrible when people... I'd have got a build around the house this morning.
Yeah.
And he went, so what do you do then? And that's like, oh, my whole life is now just reduced to just a pathetic, it's like you become nine again. Like, except probably, that's probably what it's like in public school. What did you, right, describe your purpose, boy.
Yeah.
It was like that, except.
They'd have no problem describing what they are, would they? There'd be no hesitation. I sort of apologetically go, oh, I'm a comedian, but I also sing. But they wouldn't. Yeah.
No, at least you got that. I can't, you know. This building block, I wasn't there when they come, and so I'd said that because I'm so utterly disorganized, right? So they come yesterday morning with all this like wood and stuff. I don't quite know what they're doing, but they come and they went, is there somewhere we can get in the house? And when I spoke to them, I said, yeah, well, there's a sort of bit at the bottom you can get. I'm sure there's a little path or something. I'm sure you can get up there. And I thought, oh, I better go and talk to the woman whose house it is down there at the bottom and ask her, but I forgot. So they just rang me and went, are you sure we're all right to get in here, Mark? We're round. It's yesterday morning. I was in Oxford. And I thought, oh, fuck, I forgot. I said, I'm sure. Is anyone there? Don't look like it. I said, oh, it'll be all right. And then 20 minutes later, the bloke went back. She's gone fucking mental, Mark. She's gone fucking, she's nuts. Can you hear her now? Get her fucking out, my God! pardon. And he said, I fucking don't know what to do, mate. And I said, oh, well, is it? It's there now. And I know, but I fucking... she said, get out right now. I said, well, it'll take 10 minutes to get it all out of your garden. So we're going to pass it through. We're going to leave it there. And then and he went, and she's gone, you haven't got 10 minutes. I said, well, I can't just fucking match it away, love, can I? And, she, and then she come round again this morning and she was stood in my garden. I've never seen this one before at all. It's quite interesting watching how, as a sort of one of them little things, a little self-help thing on how to resolve disputes and conflicts. Not this woman, right? She just stood there, you disgust it. And I didn't know what to say in that. And I said, well, what's your name? Oh, she said, I'm not telling you my name. I'm not going to be your friend. And I couldn't help but say, I could see that the odds against that are lengthening. And, and then she went, can you imagine what it's like to just have someone standing in your garden? And I said, I can, to be honest, because you're standing in mine. And she said, no, you can't. And she went, oh, you think you're so fucking funny. It was fucking, and I did. And it was brilliant. It was Brit, and I can hear the builder and Elliot, who will be on in a minute, right behind me, Gavin, fits of the giggles. It was fucking magnificent. I'd like to hire her out. What a start to the day. This was at 8 o'clock.
She's like excellent security for any event. You wouldn't mess, would you? Amazing. Seeing off a bunch of builders. my neighbours on both sides hate me and my mum, and we've all like, there's two on that side, there's me and my mum in the middle, and like, we've never been anything other than completely polite to each other, but we all hate each other. And like, I've been in our garden and heard the neighbours on one side slagging us off through the fence.
No, what do they say?
They hate our cats. But they kind of blame us for the cats. The cats, they're going to walk through your garden and they might shit in it. But there's really nothing I can do about that.
Is it a cat or is it a jaguar? Oh, how can people get that in a state about cats?
They were really like, oh, and they let them come through the garden and we've seen her out the front. She always parks her car out the front like that.
What do they, I don't know, what does the audience think about this? Neighbourly disputes I find so depressing because I sort of think, you know, when Public Enemy said the world is bigger than your block, that sadly, I think these people don't listen to Public Enemy. But it's fucking bigger than your block. Is that all your troubles? Is that the cat?
Pretty much. And we heard them do it and we were like, oh my God, I can't believe it. And then we saw them out the front the next day. We're like, hiya, morning, like that.
Oh, that's even worse, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, you'd want them to at least poison your fish and end up on ITV's Neighbours from Hell. So, when I saw you the other day at Shappy's school benefit,
oh, yeah,
which was brilliant, and there's a bit you did that I thought was so full of truth and so funny about a school assemblies. I loved it because my memories of school assemblies are not cheery, really. I just remember stood there going, Lord God made us all and we're not even fucking grateful. But you've got a much cheerier memory of them.
Well, so my school, I went to quite a secular primary school, but it was the early 90s, so we still had to do hymns and that. But also, our headmaster, Mr. Lee, who I think had some stuff going on at home, to be honest, he also used to get us to sing other songs. Oh, and we didn't have hymn books. We had clear plastic acetates on an overhead projector with the lyrics up there. And, like, seven-year-olds have to really concentrate on what they're reading. So it was like, just loads of kids singing like that, and they're seven, so they're singing a little John Lewis voice. But our headmaster, Mr. Lee, liked to hear all the seven-year-olds sing, we'll drink a drink a drink to Lily the pink, the pink, the pink. And snooker loopy, nuts are we, we're all snooker loopy. And he used to get us to sing, right, said Fred, have another cup of tea, that one. And
he also, you sing that?
Yeah, yeah, and all up on there. And we wouldn't get taught these songs. It was just the kids in the year above knew them.
Right.
And we'd sing them often enough that by the time you were in year four, you were like, show the reception how it's sung. And he used to get us to sing that song that goes, if football crazy, is football mad, which has got a lyric in it where he obviously just wanted to hear a load of seven-year-olds sing, he kicked his wife out of bed and swore it was a goal. So, yeah, we used to do that. But we also did hymns. So, like, just lots of seven-year-olds going, we love you, Jesus, yes, we do. Jesus' love is pure and good. It's like a horrible sight. I think seven-year-olds singing to words on an overhead projector is a horrible sight, is where I go with it. But I make it cheerful, don't I, Mark?
Yeah, very yeah. cheerful. But Jesus, I think Jesus would have, if he just come back, he'd go into schools and he'd go, what the fuck are you doing?
What is this?
Fucking rubbish. Yeah. It's just having fun.
Yeah. It's like how all, until this series of The Crown, every depiction of Princess Diana was just like, when like Princess Diana went partying with Freddie Mercury and stuff, she probably did loads of coke. She was probably a fucking laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's perfectly legitimate to say that all sorts of members of the royal family did all sorts of class A drugs on this podcast and not have the slightest fear that there will be any repercussions at all. That was the last in this series. What the fuck was going on?
They'd like that. They'd like me saying,
if you wish to contact any of the people responsible for the program, they are in Belmarsh, where they all are £8 million.
But I think Jesus, like our Di, was a laugh who did loads of coke. So they should depict more of that in hymns.
Yeah.
They did in Lord of the Dance, didn't they? Fucking hell.
Yeah. He did. Do you think he could turn water into coke?
Yeah, that's such a. It's the ancient language translation, apparently, of like Mary. What we read as virgin, it just meant young woman, right? Oh, right. So that's lost in translation from the ancient text. So similarly, it wasn't wine he turned the water into, it was coke.
Yeah.
It's from the ancient text.
Oh, at the Last Supper and
yeah.
Okay, no. I'm going to be up all night, I'm going to tell you that, Judas.
No wonder he's denying he existed. Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Pete, wasn't it? Sorry, I'm Jewish, don't know.
Now, this is something we must talk about. The good people of the Metropolitan Police. Now, this was over the last few days. Obviously, it's an utterly, utterly gruesome, horrible story that this another copper has been just guilty of the most appalling sexual crimes with women. But just the bit that I found fascinating, which sort of suggests there's a reason why they can't really deal with it, was the words that were used about it. Was unbelievable, they said. Mm-hmm. This was a spokesperson for the Met. This is unbelievable.
Right.
It's unbelievable that the thing that happened a while ago has happened again.
Right.
It's
right.
Unbelievable. The sun came up this morning. It was unbelievable.
Meanwhile, there's like 800 other cases they're looking
800,
into.
800, unbelievable.
Yeah. Unbelievable is 800 more.
Unprecedented. So they use the word unprecedented for all 800. So when they get to like number 600, there's another unprecedented one.
Unbelievable.
Unprecedented. Yeah. As if there's one not guilty of anything, they could go, well, that's unprecedented. But that, what are we supposed to do about this then?
Well, yeah, there was a newspaper headline where it was like, advice if you're approached by a lone policeman. Like, this is... run like fuck. Like, what? What? It's not... I don't think it's very normal, this country, at the moment. If you're approached by a lone policeman, run for your life. Do nothing that he says. Do you remember when the advice was after that Wayne Cousins? It was like, flag down a bus... Oh, yeah, all right.
Yeah. Well, I suppose there is some logic to it. Flag down anybody who isn't a police.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything. Yeah. Trapeze artist, dustman, hairdresser.
Yeah.
But it is a sort of... What do you think? Because what I find... This is genuinely what I find sort of puzzling. There has been some change in the police. This is not, you know, over the last 30 or 40 years, there have been all of these sorts. They all go on courses and all that, don't they? About, and they'll sort of, they'll be advised not to use certain words, and they'll be on, they'll have gone on all sorts of anti-sexism courses, but maybe they should have the one, don't sexually assault women.
Yeah.
Maybe
that's the missing
one.
Maybe
the language later and the don't sexually assault women.
I think those courses probably do more harm than good, because it galvanises them to like roll their eyes about it to each other across the room, probably. So then they're like, let's show them and do some more assaults.
Yeah.
Ha 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 ha, sorry.
Yeah, like a game show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
God. So, music in right, just I'm just trying to I could try. If I was Richard Madeley, I'd find a link between the two. So, I wonder
probably
if,
women or something is the problem.
I wonder if any of the police, while they're assaulting women, sing. Anyway, coming to because I'd always, you know, if you're being assaulted, you know, at least there's a little bit of music to take your mind off things. God.
More of that thing.
So do you think, like, so a lot of, what you do when you're doing in your comedy, so you mix very much the sort of two things of music, which is very different from what some people do when they do, like, now I'm doing a comedy song.
Oh, yeah, I don't do any comedy songs in stand-up. I did for a while, but I was such a bad songwriter that it would be like, now we get to a song and everyone go, oh, no, once they'd heard two of them. If I got to a third one, they'd be like, oh, this won't be good. So now I just do comedy about singing, but also involves singing. And it's really hard to pitch that to people in the industry, because they all do what everyone here is doing, which is go, what? Yeah,
but I can see that, because comedy, there aren't many comedy. Well, like, yeah, I right said Fred, your teacher was onto something there.
Yeah. Fred, have another cup of tea.
Audience got any comedy song? There aren't many, are there?
A lot of comedy songs are terrible. That's the problem. Yeah. That's funny, isn't it?
I saw Goldie Looking Chain the other day, who I'm a big fan of, right? Looking Chain, for people who don't know, are sort of hip-hop. They're sort of joke hip-hop, but they're really good at it. But they all their songs are about Newport in South Wales. They're very much Newport. And they had a song when there was an outcry saying that rap was causing gun crime. They did a song called Guns Don't Kill People, Rappers Do. And they also had a song, this is from about 1996, called Your Mother's Got a Penis.
Oh, yeah.
And it was strangely ahead of its time, wasn't it?
It's a very woke song, actually. The government will be furious. They won't be getting their little grant, will they?
We will be seeing you later on, Suze, because Suze is going to help us with some of the questions that I hope you've been filling in. But for now, please, a huge round of applause, please, for Miss Suze Templar. The Tories are continuing to do disastrously in the opinion polls, and some Conservatives are starting to think that the only answer is to bring back the ex-Prime Minister. One of these is Tory MP Nadine Boris.
Nadine, do you honestly believe that the Conservatives should bring back Boris Johnson as leader?
Too fucking right. Bring him back now. Right now. Not just as leader of the Tory party. We should bring him back as king.
Boris Johnson wasn't the monarch.
He was my king. And who does that American cow think she is, coming over here and taking our prince? She's worse than Amy Ledbetter down at the Grapes, swanning in from St. Helens and marrying Hairy Dave the Bouncer. Now they've gone off to live in Newton Le Willows, the stuck-up shithouses.
Do you not feel that Boris Johnson is discredited?
You're the one who's discredited. You should see what they've written about you in the box. I heard you shat your pants at Kelsey's party when a fella came out of jail. Took her 3 days to mop it up with the lemon and the vinegar.
So you really believe that Boris Johnson is the answer?
He's the answer to everything. He should be the Archbishop of Canterbury. He should be the new presenter of CBeebies. And he should be goalkeeper for Everton, not Jordan Pickford, the shithousey little shithouse.
Oh, what the fuck is going on?
Thank you so much, all of you, and any of you who are Patreon, lovely, beloved Patreon supporters. Because if you, of course, that we can continue our quest to find out what the fuck is going on. If you want to join these wonderful, virtuous people, just follow the link on the Twitter page. Go to www.patreon.com. There might be a dot in there somewhere. You'll know where it is. And type in what the F is going on. I've probably sent you to a completely different... You'll now go on a different thing and become an evangelical Inuit. Anyway, you know the rules. For £4 a month, you get a longer ad-free version of the episode. Or you can come to one of the live ones. I mean, you know, the next live one, we'll probably have to have someone coming in from British Aerospace and try to sell you some chemical weapons. To join the WTF community. Well, this is the point of the podcast that people really enjoy. It's the announcements. There's announcements every week. People love announcements. I don't know what announcements there are this week apart from the fire exits, which we're fucked, aren't we? Look, we're all... There's so many of us, and if there's a fire, there we are. But we're English, so we can laugh about it. Americans would be, there'd only be three allowed in here, but we don't bother with our health and safety. Fucking nonsense. That's why we won the war without them. So... this is the point, though, where... So there are... because people will be listening to this. I'm doing a tour. You can come and... You go, why would you... go? As if anyone's going to come after seeing this. I'm going to Stafford and Stratford, but not even in other places. Right. So I've got some questions that the audience has very kindly handed to us about what the fuck is going on. And so a huge round of applause, please, for Sue Skempter, who's going to come and help us answer some of the questions. So how are you you're getting pretty adept now at working out what the fuck is going on. Here's a question from Stuart Smith on Twitter. And he says, and I think, bearing in mind the news of this week, what is your most, in inverted commas, careless moment during your career?
My careless... Becoming a comedian, some might say, was a careless moment. Oh, this entire audience agrees.
We should just explain. So this clearly is like... Because this is Nadeem Zahawi said that it was careless of him to sort of not pay the 3.7 million. I know, just to say... How can you say it and not... When he was having... Like, you can't say it. And just to say the actual thing, when they were having the meet with the lawyers, with the guy, when Richie Sunak said to him, how are you going to explain this? And he went, I'll say that the 3.7 million was careless. And Richie Sunak is the only person in the country who would go, yes, I think that sounds plausible. Everyone else would go, fucking careless? 3.7 million, you twat. I go. But when have you been similarly careless? Like this kind of fiddling in jaw.
Well, I had an amazing, like, pinnacle moment of career. End of 2018, I got to sing at the ENO, English National Opera, and they said at the end of the show, take your final bow and then step back because the curtain will come down, right? So I remember it had gone so well, and I took my final bow, and then I went, and I've remembered to step back, and I was really proud of myself. And I stepped back, and behind me was like a wedge monitor, and I fell over it. I had a long dress and big heels on, but I fell over it, and it was wedge shaped. So I sort of fell over it very slowly, and then slid down the back of it. There's nothing I could do. And then the curtain did not come down. So. That was quite careless, wasn't it? Even though I was trying to be so careful, but I literally stepped back like this. Like, fell back very slowly. It was wonderful.
That sounds quite plausibly careless, though.
Yeah, that's... I mean, it's not as good as, oops, I forgot to pay 3.7 million in tax, but maybe I should earn more. Then I could carelessly forget to pay that much.
Fiddles in jobs are... are a huge part of the job, aren't they? So I remember, like, everybody fiddled. Does people still do? I mean, it's a long time since I, but, you know, I had jobs back when jobs were like, the jobs I had, I was a milkman, or I don't know what you call that now, but a milk delivery person, whatever it is. And there'd be, and I worked in a petrol garage and stuff, and in offices as a clerk and stuff. And this was actually a huge moment in my life, because I thought, I'd been told, oh, once you leave school, you won't be able to, there's no skiving and fiddling, you know, all of that ends. And I thought, no. Oh, this is terrible. And then I was a messenger at an office in London Bridge. I used to have to take these sort of documents and parcels to the docks in Tilbury and stuff like that. Or not Tilbury, I don't know, somewhere. And I think it was Tilbury anyway. But, and I used to get there as quick as I can and think, oh God, I don't want to get in trouble for taking too long. And the bloke who did the job before me come up to me once and he said, how long is that taking you to get to Poplar? That was it, to get to Poplar and back. And I said, I'm getting there and back in an hour and a half, honestly. And he went, I used to make that last 2.5 hours. He said, you're going to get me right in the shit. And it was a moment where I thought, oh, the skiving carries on. Oh, this is the most wonderful moment.
And you can get away with far more than you ever could at school job. Yeah. Like, there's no, I had a job for 5 years working in archiving for a legal firm for minimum wage. And I could make 6 to 7 hours of my working day I could spend on Facebook if I just made sure my face was going like this all day. Looking at the computer screen going like that, then people just assume, ah, she's working, she's trying to sort out a serious problem. It's usually just arguing with someone on Facebook.
I had a job in the richest I've ever been in my life. When I was 18, I worked in a petrol garage. And this, honestly, I've never been so rich, because this lorry, this fleet of lorries used to come in from a carpet company. And they would, they'd say, right, fill it up. And it'd be like 40 gallons of diesel. And there was just a sheet. This was how undigital the world was. There was just a sheet of paper with the carpet company's name on. And you just wrote 40 gallons of diesel down. And they got charged for that at the end of the month. You just sent it to them. And so the drivers would go, stick us down for 45, right? You'd put 40 in, but you'd put it down for 45. No one's going to know that little bit, a difference. And so the till, the books of the garage are now 5 gallons in credit. So we'd share that out in monetary terms. Me, mate, and the driver. And there was about 6 or 7 of these lorries coming a day. And then people, they started getting greedy. Put 5 in, stick us down for 70, you know. And I was absolutely rolling in it. Because I was living, I had no money, nothing to spend, no kids, mortgages. I've never, ever been so rich. And I do remember that on a Friday, the boss had come around with the wages, and I think, oh, I forgot all about them. That's a little bonus. Careless. John says, the signs on tube trains state, please look up to check if anyone needs a seat more than you. Remember, not all disabilities are visible. So he asks, how does that work? That's a really good point. So look up to see if someone's disabled, because some disabilities you can't see. So you have to look up and go, you don't look disabled, you must be disabled, mate. Do you want to...
It's going to take ages. Excuse me, are you disabled? No, it doesn't matter. Excuse me, are you disabled?
What? Oh, he's deaf. Go on, sit down. It's a very good point. Oh, now, this is a really difficult one. How much is a pint of milk? In brackets, most politicians don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I go, huh, hey, don't, they're so out of touch. And then I'm like... I don't know, is it a quid or something?
I reckon you'll sort of, you won't get much change out of 82p. Hey. What do we reckon?
Yeah. 80p. 80p?
Oh, it's 82 South London, because it has further to go.
We only drink soy milk here anyway.
Oh, yeah, very good. Yeah, someone says we don't drink soy milk here. That's very, very true. And Neville Kite, I think, on Twitter says, what the fuck is going on with podcasts booking live shows in venues that hold roughly the same number of people as my nan's living room?
Well, Neville Coyte, I think that if your nan's living room is this size, then I hope that she cuts you out of the inheritance. Thank you very much to all the people who asked questions and to Suze Kempner. Thank you very much. Now, nobody who has ever seriously tried to work out what the fuck is going on has been able to do it without the voice of the youth. And for that reason, some 26 and a half years ago, I bred someone for that very, very purpose. Please welcome Mr. Elliot Steele. So, a pint, then?
Yeah, I'm on my third. This has dragged on a bit. I feel sorry for these two fucks. They've just watched the back of your head for a whole show.
Oh, I don't know what... I'm supposed to fucking go.
Well, move the chair back. Jesus Christ. Do you remember every week you come in and you go, my audience, oh, this podcast is doing really well. We get a really young audience. Let me tell you now, you best hope that Western Russia sort out this Ukraine problem. Otherwise, not everyone's going to be here next year, man. If they can't afford their heating bill, it's fucked.
Yeah, well, sorry for being in the wrong location.
I wanted to go to bed. What the fuck? Why am I here?
I'm used to playing big venues, you see.
This is what you guys don't see on the podcast. This is what gets edited out. I'm like, I did my first 100 seater the other night, and then my dad will go, yeah, I'm doing like 600 in Derby, but yeah.
No, I don't make out that I'm abusive like that. Don't fucking ask me for nothing till you're doing a 600-seat theatre in fucking Derby. You should be ashamed of yourself with your 100-seater. The comedy of abuse. It's what?
I was, yeah, it's Leger, isn't it? I was calling it Les Gets. I was out doing some ski gigs, and then it turns out I was going to Les Gets, and anyone who's French, I don't know where that is. And it turned out it was called Leger.
Some years ago, I don't know how many years ago, 10, we were walking around, is it Lidl in South Norwood?
No, it was Aldi. I know what you're going to talk about. It wasn't 10 years ago. It was like 3 as well.
And the question was asked of me, what's a manga toot?
Do you remember when we were meeting Sean Walsh in Bristol, and he was like, I'm in Les... the place was called Les Iguana. I went... Oh, what's that place called? Lizzie Guinea. And you just really sadly went, oh, fucking hell, Elliot, it's Les Iguana.
Well, that's Spanish. That is quite odd.
Yeah, there's, well, there we go. I didn't get the masculine or feminine right on it.
No. No, that is quite odd. But Les, it was never likely to be Les Gets, was it? There is no, not the faintest understanding of French.
You raised me, what the fuck? How's this my fault?
No, all right, it's my, it's entirely my fault that you pronounced Leger. Was it Leger?
Leger. Leger, yeah.
Leger as Les. Les Gets. For some reason, some bloke from West Ham came over here and set up a ski resort in his own. Oh, is Les still running that fucking ski slope? And he helps. He probably gets fed up with it. I called it Les Gets after me, and they fucking all come, all the tourists come here and go, oh, we do like coming to Leger. So what I wanted to talk to you about, right, so you're doing really well at the moment with bits that you do on TikTok, Instagram, things that my generation struggles with.
I'm not doing well on TikTok, I'm on my third strike.
What's that mean?
I don't know. But it means the CCP ain't happy with us, that's what it basically means. Who are they?
The Chinese Communist Party.
What, they run TikTok?
Yeah, basically, like, it turns out TikTok was set up by the Chinese Communist Party to help, like, cause, like, you know, Western dissent. And I was part of that. I was causing Western dissent.
And did the Chinese Communist Party pay for this?
No, not well. You think they would. But no, they're not happy because I did a couple of videos that they were like, nah. So now my account is like shadow banned and stuff.
God, that French you're talking about is a considerably easier language to learn than this one you're talking.
Yeah, Leger's looking pretty fucking good right now, isn't it?
Shadow ban. So does this? So if you persistently put something on TikTok about supporting the protest for democracy in China, for example,
I weren't even that.
I can't imagine.
No, I had a cigarette. No, they weren't too happy that I wasn't a one China comedian. I accidentally called it Taiwan in a video and that was it done. But yeah, no, they're not happy with their, so like you get shadow banned and stuff. So I'm on my third strike and they're like, you're on a warning.
Get a warning?
Yeah. I'm on my third strike because I'm on my, like, I've got three strikes and they're like, another couple when you're out of here.
And how long does that last? Is it like a sort of speed camera thing? After 3 years, it goes away?
I don't know if the Chinese Communist Party are as forgiving as someone who's caught in doing 86 in a 70. But yeah, they're not thrilled. They've sent like messages to my account, so now my videos are all like shut up.
And don't they say the reason?
Okay, all right, this is going to start a bit mad, but bear with me.
Right.
One of them was promoting harm to children.
And just for that?
Yeah. But it was just a joke on a thing that someone reported it for. And then, so that was the first strike.
Is it that they don't want you to harm children because they want the children fit and healthy so that they can get them to make trainers?
It might be something like that. It was a joke I did, and it was in a stand-up set, and I put it up, and then they were like, "Well, this goes against the community guidelines." And when they said the reason, I was like, "All right, well, that's fair enough. That's good community guidelines." And then, like, the second one, I didn't really know, and the third one was over because I was speaking about Andrew Tate, even though I was against Andrew Tate.
Right.
They were like, "You've mentioned Andrew Tate. That's against community guidelines now," even though for about a year and a half they were very happy to allow Andrew Tate to promote Hustlers University, which he may not be using as a money laundering scheme for sex trafficking.
Yeah. So for people who aren't, well, do you want to, because not everybody may be aware of Andrew Tate.
Well, innocent until proven guilty, but but it's looking pretty guilty, I'm not going to lie. He has not done well. He has kind of set up a lot of websites detailing how he would do human trafficking, being caught supposedly doing human trafficking, and then going, ah.
And he has...
I didn't do it. It was just a website about how you would do it.
And the reason this... I mean, that's pretty bad, whoever you are, but it matters because he's got hundreds of millions of followers.
He did, but then he got banned from Instagram and TikTok, which I'm close to being.
Right.
I'm on the same level as Andrew Tate. They're trying to... The Matrix is coming for me as well. That's his thing. He says, like, the Matrix.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So that's, like, his whole thing. So whenever these people now get in trouble, they say the Matrix because it's, like, a faceless organization that they can just blame, when really it's, like, that sounds like it's more the police because you were doing human trafficking. You can't be like the red or blue pill. Oh, what one do I take? Well, what one makes you not traffic people?
I imagine there's a whole sort of, there's millions of people now into that sort of conspiracy thing. And if they're done for anything at all, if they're caught stealing, you know, if the security guard at the co-op comes up because they've been stealing Scotch eggs, they go, oh, the Matrix is after me.
Yeah, Logan Paul, who's like a famous YouTuber, used it as a thing because he bought a pig and then didn't look after it. And then everyone was like, fuck you didn't look after your pig.
well, why'd you buy the pig? And he was like, oh, the Matrix is after me. And it just wow. I was like, no, that's the RSPCA. That's not that's not the Matrix. There's no agents being sent to your house and you're having to dodge bullets like Neo. It just sounds like a woman called Sharon who's come round and gone, why the fuck's your pig in a shed? You can't do this. On. You can't be like, oh, the forces that be.
It's so much. See, when I was your age, the political arguments were so much simpler than was.
Well, that's because you were just doing some sort of petrol scam, it turns out. You were just having a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't believe you sold us. This is like the beginning of fucking Goodfellas or something. All my life, all I ever wanted to do was a petrol scam. That petrol scam was all we had, Sharon. Were you?
Well, I think everyone will agree that that's been incredibly informative. And I think we're so much nearer now to thinking. Joe, this is just finally, Elliot, and I'm, this is for the audience, and I'm sorry to say this, but I still get asked, I would say on a weekly basis by people as a result of something that you shared, how are Elliot's nuts?
Okay, you say shared. I had just gone through a surgery and you went, yeah, but you're still all right for the podcast though, don't you? We've got to make up another 9 minutes of this. Yeah.
Well, like, you know, I was. Well,
it's nice that the audience care.
No, they do. I do. I had someone come up to me in a field somewhere in Suffolk where I was when.
Yeah, it's not great parenting. Let's not lie.
No. I mean, someone just come up to me in a field, I wasn't even on. Shappy was on, and I went up there, while I was sat there, someone just came over, a random farm person. Matt, seeing as you're here, I just wondered, there's something I really like, you know, about Elliot and his nuts.
What the fuck am I meant to respond to that?
I don't know. I just, well, you know, this is your opportunity to just tell people that, you know, in the end, everything was all right.
Farm
are worrying. I think it's nice.
The Clarkson's farm never had this episode. Where he's moaning about EU reforms on farmers and then goes, but let's end on a serious note. How are Elliot's nuts? That's what we want. Yeah, they're fine. They're good. They're all right.
Good. Well, that's, you know, that's, I think, in these awkward days, I think some cheerful news is long overdue. So thank you so much, Elliot Steele, ladies and gentlemen. So thank you so much for listening to this special live edition of the podcast. If you've liked it, rate it. If you can be bothered, write a review. If you can't be bothered, absolutely, definitely write a review and get it marked by an English teacher. If there's anything at all you think I should be finding out what the fuck is going on with it, please send me a message on Twitter at WTF is going on pod. We will look at every message that you send. If you'd like to become a WTF supporter and get early access to ad-free extended versions for as little as £2 a month, visit our Patreon page. Do all the things that you know by now you have to do. What the Fuck Is Going On was hosted by me, Mark Steele, with my guests Suze Kempner and Elliot Steele, voices by Sarah Alexander. It was written by Mark Steele and Pete Sinclair, music by Willie Dowling, produced by Mike Benwell. What the Fuck Is Going On was brought to you by WTF Productions.